Mike Seidel from the Weather Channel has come to visit AirVenture Oshkosh 2014. Hello, Mike, and welcome.
It's good to be here. And the weather is terrific.
Oh, my goodness.
It's low
beautiful.
Humidity. Temperature is nice and cool in the morning. Because I know some years out here, it's like a furnace in the fields. And this is much better to walk around and spend your day out here in Oshkosh.
So what brings you to town?
I am in town to do weather briefings for a couple of mornings. And so I'm over not far from here doing a weather briefing every morning at 9:15, letting folks know what's going on for the week and for the week ahead, and especially next weekend when a lot of the pilots will be heading home.
Is this part of your official capacity as part of the Weather Channel?
It is. I'm here. Marketing's here. They're shooting some video. We're going to put together a tape. It's all tied in also to the WSI pilot brief app, and they're throwing out the new widget today. They're debuting that, where a pilot can actually access the WSI aviation products in the cockpit for the first time on their iPad.
Well, that's all good news, because I got to tell you, conventional wisdom is when you or Jim Cantore come to town, there's something bad about to happen.
Thanks. Well, we'd like to think that, but that's really not the case. Yeah, there's going to be some bad weather, but outside of, snowstorms, you just stay indoors and stay warm. Hurricanes, a different animal, and certainly severe weather. Yeah, sometimes we get on planes and people aren't happy to see us getting on the plane going to where they're going. But we try to calm their fears and let them know that everything will be okay, That's all you can do.
Now, when you're talking to a group of pilots or aviation enthusiasts, do you approach telling the story and providing the information in a different way than you would, say, in the normal course of duty?
Yes, indeed, because we're talking about flying, we're talking about visual flight rules, instrument flight rules, ceilings, wind speeds at different heights. There's much more detail versus being out on the beach talking about a hurricane coming. A lot less detail in that case, more of just like talking about it at dinner time versus more of a technical angle when you're dealing with pilots. And especially a lot of the pilots here that are flying vintage planes that don't have all the fancy instruments, and they're flying line of sight visual, and they need a good forecast, especially when you get into that gray area between IFR and VFR, the marginal areas.
So do you like that kind of sort of spice in the day?
Yeah, it's a new challenge, and it's good to be here. I'm not getting wet. I'm not working 16, 18 hours a day, so this is great. I've never been here. My brother has come because he's a private pilot, but it's great to be out here. There's so many planes. My gosh.
I want to bring in Chad Ruthlessberger, who's our weather intern from St. Cloud State. Hi, Chad.
How you doing?
Wanted to make sure that you were part of this conversation as well.
Yes, absolutely. Whenever I meet new meteorologists, I love to ask. I started at a young age when I was in kindergarten, got fascinated with weather. Were you kind of the same since you got interested in meteorology at an early age, and kind of what was your course working up to the position you're in now?
Certainly, I was into weather from the time I was six. I was measuring snow at home. My parents were pulling me in from the snowstorm. Still have the same ruler that I used. That was over 50 years ago. And so It became a big hobby. I got my first weather station when I was in eighth grade. Had the remote anemometer and wind vane up on the roof. And kept weather records for 10 years. Got into radio when I was 16. That was over 40 years ago. And then got into TV right before I started graduate school at Penn State. And then landed my first local TV job. And now I've been at the Weather Channel for 23 years. Almost 23 years, I think. Yeah, it's been a long time. But wow. Things have changed technologically. And I think the weather, too, has gotten more extreme.
Talk about those technological changes. How does that change the way you do your job?
Well, certainly when I started, we were barely even doing any live coverage. We did some hurricanes. And our first snowstorm that we actually covered live was in 1996. I'd already been at the Weather Channel 4 years. People don't remember that. Now we cover all kinds of weather. And then as we got through the late 90s, we ramped up our live coverage. So we were covering severe ice storms, nor'easters. And now I'm on the road an average of about 150 days a year. So that has changed a lot. In the studio, obviously, the graphics have come a long way. We're still in front of a key wall sometimes, the green wall, the green screen as they call it. But the graphics are much more superb. They pop out. They move. If you saw Weather Channel tapes from 25, 30 years ago, or even local TV, you know there's been a big difference in what the meteorologist puts on the air behind him. And now we're using flat screens. Sometimes we're pointing to maps that are actually there on the TV. It's not a green screen. It's not a special effect.
Yeah, so you're not having to look off camera to see yourself superimposed over the map that you're actually pointing to, which has been the way it's been done for decades, right?
Huh? Yeah, that's...
Oh, I wasn't supposed to blow that secret, was I?
Hey, easy. What do you... You know, Houdini... this is true. This is true. We still use the green screen, and so, you know, the graphics have improved. Forecasting has gotten better. We have better models. So talking about technology improvements...
That's actually what I meant when I asked you the question about the forecasting technology.
Yeah, the technology has improved dramatically. I mean, we had the spectral model, then they had the LFM back in the early 80s, and we went out to about 72 hours. That was it. Now the U.S. model, the GFS model, goes out 16 days. The European goes out 10 days. Not to say that the forecast at 16 days is any better, but, I mean... All of this is a function of the improvement in computer technology and how fast these machines can crunch the data. And, you know, all the upper air data comes in, the surface data around the world. And it's really a function of those supercomputers, the Crays, that can just take all this data, you know, millions and millions of pieces of data, and crunch it through and spit out the graphical and also the alphanumeric forecast. In the GFS situation, it comes out every 6 hours.
So do you feel like forecasting is substantially more accurate than it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
I believe to get into the second and third day, it's better. And I think now casting is better, too, when you talk about severe weather. Now that we have Doppler radar, which is an improvement from 20, 30 years ago, now we have the dual-pole Doppler. So I think that certainly helps us. The lead time has increased on tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings. That hopefully will get people to a safer place. One thing that hasn't improved is forecasting intensity for hurricanes. It's still very bad, or very poor, I should say. We still can't get our handles on that. Now, as far as forecasting direction, where it's going, we've gotten better. Look at Sandy. Boy, that was forecast almost perfectly by the European model. So that's improved. But there are a lot long ways to go. I don't think the 5 or 6 day forecast has improved dramatically in the past 5 or 6 years, no.
It seems like the amount of even short-term models has increased probably within the last 5 years as well. And now you have like the HRR.
Models, the mesoscale
that only
models.
They only go out maybe 15, 18 hours. But yeah, and you have getting new updates every hour.
Right, also. The RPM.
Yeah.
We get, that's the WSI model, and it updates every 3 hours. Goes out 36 or 48, gosh. I don't usually look at it that far out because I'm looking at the short-term. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the simulated radar, the precip type. It's amazing. And again, this is all a function of how far we've come with the computer technology. If we didn't have that ability, we'd be sitting down there with our pencil and paper and our abacus.
Several times a year, there's a news story about a weather satellite going on the blink or maybe being replaced and that putting us in a weak spot. Are we less dependent on weather satellites because of the technology you're talking about now?
No, not at all. Because we have satellites that do the scans that can pick up the winds and temperature and everything without even a thermometer. So I don't think we're less dependent are we more dependent? I don't think we're more dependent either. We just have better satellite technology. But those scans we use for the hurricanes are great because there's no ship reports out there in the middle of the Atlantic.
Have you guys done a remote from the middle of an ocean yet?
No, we've not done that. Why? Would you like us to do one of those?
I'm just thinking about the conditions in which I have not seen a person with a Weather Channel logo standing, and I've seen them in just about every situation imaginable.
No, I think...
But not that one.
I think somebody may have been out on a Navy ship off the coast once recently. I'm trying... It wasn't me, but... I've been overseas. I've been... For hurricanes, I've been in Mexico, in Jamaica, and I was in Cuba a couple years ago. I did a blizzard in March from Halifax, Nova Scotia. But as far as being out in a boat, except for being on a Coast Guard icebreaker in Penobscot Bay near Bangor, Maine, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I have not been out floating aimlessly at sea with my soccer ball named Wilson.
So what's the weather event that if it happened and you had a chance to sign up and go, you'd say, hey, coach picked me, send me in?
Well, I prefer, I love blizzards because nobody really gets hurt, you know, and it's great visual on TV, even at night. The problem with nighttime live coverage, if it's not snowing in the warmer weather months, if it's not raining very hard and the wind's not blowing, you're like standing in a black hole. And if it's the day before something like a hurricane, it's just dark and the palm trees aren't moving, the sea oats aren't moving. So snow works very well on TV 24/7. And you turn a TV light on, it doesn't take much. People go, oh my gosh. Well, it's really not snowing that hard. It just looks like that because the light's reflecting off the ice crystals. So there you go. So I like snowstorms. Once again, except for some folks that shovel snow and have heart attacks, usually nobody gets hurt. And there's not a whole lot of property damage usually, just a lot of people stuck at home.
What's been the most memorable storm that you've covered?
Oh, I have so many memories of storms. Gosh, you know, some of the blizzards, some of the snowstorms, some of the hurricanes. Irene, I was on the beach for 15 hours 2 years ago, and then a few months later we had Sandy, where I was on the beach. It was wiped away by the hurricane. The dune line was gone. I come back a week later. They had taken all the sand from Point Pleasant, put it back out on the beach, created this, I don't know, 15, 16-foot dune. Here comes a nor'easter, and we get a snowstorm. We'd never seen a snowstorm and snow accumulating, 6 to 8 inches, on top of hurricane debris and damage. Wow. Because in most spots where you have a hurricane, if it snows, it's rare, and it doesn't occur in October. Or this, in this case, early November. So it was really surreal. I'm out on this man-made dune from Hurricane Sandy, which had hit a week earlier, and there's debris everywhere. And here comes, you know, half a foot of snow. So that was just that was surreal.
Well, thanks for coming by, Mike Seidel with the Weather Channel.
Are we done?
Well, we don't have to be.
Well, but I don't know. What else can we talk about? If anybody gets a chance to spend a few days here, do it. And hopefully the weather will be as good as it is this week.
Well,
nice and comfortable.
Thank you so much for bringing that with you.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to what you normally bring with you.
This is true. You know, you take the good with the bad.
Mike Seidel from the Weather Channel. Thanks for stopping by to talk with us.
Thanks, guys.
Chad, thank you for
glad
taking part.
Here.
Good luck, Chad.
Thank you.
For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.